This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're with Julian Ng and Joyce Goh, and now it's time to look at the global markets. And on the line with us is Vishnu Varadhan, Head of Economics and Strategy of Oceania and Treasury Department at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, good of you to join us. Now, the Fed Chairman Jerome Powell seems to have calmed markets with his latest comments on the possibility of slowing down rate hikes. Is this just a temporary relief, or could we be looking at the Fed adjusting its monetary policy for this year?
I mean, that's a good question. Surely markets had some justification for their reaction because this was a distinct and discernible change in tone from Fed Powell. Though I think what he really did was he gave a little bit more insight into what gradual interest rate hikes meant, because he did suggest that into 2019, a lot more things would be data dependent. And now, with much lower oil prices that have been seen in Q4 and you know, despite the uptick still remaining low, his allusion to you know, very benign inflation, giving them time to be patient, and that was one word I think that markets really clung on to, suggest that he may not you know, engage in as many hikes as even the dot plot may suggest. So the dot plot suggesting two, which is why I think markets are seduced by the prospects of no hikes or one hike. But to some extent, this will be temporary relief, because we need to note two things. A 25 basis point hike from here, or even a 50 basis point hike, would not be the catalyst for asset markets turning down or for recession or things like that. Rather, the hikes already done so far, the impact they would start to have on businesses, I think that's important. Increasingly, the Fed's balance sheet reduction, which is going to remove $600 billion from the markets, that remains a key issue. So I think they would need to see a part two of this. So the sequel would be something where Powell suggests what the new so-called neutral size of the balance sheet is. And so markets get an idea as to when they would stop pulling out U.S. dollar liquidity. And I think that's when you see something more durable.
Well, Vishnu, with U.S. equities suffering their worst year since the 2008 financial crisis, do you see a buying opportunity, or should we be more cautious, you know, when buying on dips?
I mean, certainly valuations have started to look a lot more attractive, and that's merely a function of something falling. But just because it falls, there's no necessity to pick it up, because one wants to take into consideration why it fell in the first place. And I think markets would need to see two things. One, they would need to see a broader stabilization in risk sentiments. Actually, they need to see three things. The second thing they need to see is headline risks receding durably. So some of this optimism we've seen about U.S.-China trade talks, it's still premature. We need to see further things on it. And that must translate into the third thing, which is an improvement in earnings, which is the fundamental justification to pick up and to see whether valuations make sense.
And we also saw that Apple giving a warning about its earnings. What does this say about the larger tech sector and even the FANG stocks that are listed in the U.S.?
Well, I think that it says two things. I think one is, I think Apple is a company that's had very good sales and revenue. So Apple's warning does suggest that the demand environment is growing increasingly more challenging. It's either due to competitors and to some extent also due to some more subdued demand. And I think the broader issue are twofold. First is for tech companies more widely, the ability to translate sales or growth in share into profitability remains a key point, especially when you see a cash crunch coming up. And the third point about this is that for the FANG stock, especially how they manage data and privacy issues, increasingly take on a regulatory risk which may not go away even if earnings pick up. So that's the third risk.
Speaking about Apple, do you think its forecast cut will play into the U.S. and China trade talks that is set to resume this week?
Oh, that would be an ego trip for Apple, I suppose, if we decided that was the catalyst for improved talks. What we can say, though, is that for Apple's the earnings warnings that they gave out, I think that does set the stage for the talks. But I think it would be difficult to get U.S. trade hawks to back down because they are driven by a different ideology.
And a very ominous signs here because with China's economic slowdown, Apple's forecast cut, as well as reports of South Korean manufacturing growth falling, what could happen if the talks aren't successful? Would this exacerbate the global growth challenges that we have now?
I mean, surely that's the big risk that you picked out. If the talks do not turn out to be successful, and here we run into a definition problem, what do we determine as success? Even if these talks ended in some kind of agreement, if the tariffs already imposed are not rolled back, that would be a drag in any case. So the worst-case scenario is not successful and there's an escalation in tit-for-tat tariffs. That would certainly cause what we've seen as a cyclical global slowdown in demand turning a lot more acute and causing, I think, a lot more economic pain, firstly in the North Asia region, but I think it'll cascade very quickly into something that's Asia-wide and global.
And, of course, turning our attention to Asia, can we foresee what PBOC's options are when it comes to dealing with China's economic growth?
I mean, we've already had a glimpse. They've given us a few of the options that they've been using. So they've had this targeted medium-term lending, which they've extended. They've also done triple R cuts, 100 basis point worth, last Friday announced. That should release about 1.5 trillion renminbi into the economy, though the net effect may be closer to 800 billion renminbi. So they can provide a lot more liquidity. That's one. They can direct this liquidity in incentivizing banks to lend to SMEs, so on and so forth. But PBOC's limitations are monetary. They can't do very much more than providing cushion. If the demand is not there, we run into the so-called liquidity trap where even if you provide liquidity, demand doesn't pick up.
Right. Well, Vishnu, what is your outlook for the dollar this year? I mean, what other currencies as well should we, you know, be looking at?
Yeah, I mean, that's a rather tough question, but it's a pertinent one at the beginning part of the year. I mean, we've held on to this view stubbornly, and that's that this year would see a peak dollar. So dollar would peak out and start to soften for some of the reasons we discussed, where the Fed starts to scale back on tightening. That's one. Where some of the bilateral trade tensions turn out to be bad for the U.S., particularly as U.S.'s fiscal stimulus runs out of steam. So a weaker U.S. Plus a less aggressive Fed would turn out to be a peak dollar scenario. But whether that turns out to be a dollar falling or just correcting would depend on how much markets focus on U.S.'s growing twin deficits. And our sense is that to the extent that Asia doesn't look very good, so and the rest of the world, including the EMs, one wouldn't want to be too short on the dollar and plowing their money elsewhere either. So it's the beauty contest for the ugly sisters, and you don't know which one is uglier.
All right. On that note, thank you so much. And that was Vishnu Varadhan, Head of Economics and Strategy of Oceania and Treasury Department at Mizuho Bank, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.